If you will, turn in your Bibles to John chapter 9. What I am about to tell you is a true story, at least in essence. The dialogue may be embellished a little bit because it happened so long ago, I don't remember the exact words that were said. But the essence of it will be truthful. I had gone to the optometrist for my yearly vision exam. And I knew that the drill, you go in, they sit you down, there's going to be an eye chart, and you're going to have to, you know, cover one eye, read the smallest print that you can read. The doctor wasn't in. Bad mistake. So there's the eye chart. Sure enough, the doctor comes in, says, cover up your left eye and read the smallest line that you can read. And I said, CAT.NO.5022. She goes, where is that? I says, right down there in the corner. Before she came in, I got down right up to the thing. I recognized, memorized that thing, and when she came in, I couldn't see that for anything, but I memorized it up close, and wow! The eye exam went on, and as you can see, I'm wearing glasses. Didn't do me a whole lot of good. Spiritually speaking, there are a lot of people that do what I did with this optometrist in the spiritual realm. They fake it. They make it look like they have great spiritual vision, when in reality they're blind as a bat. And John chapter 9 is dealing with blindness tonight. We are going to see... that there are two types of blindness. The first one is a physical blindness. John chapter 9, verse 1, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. There are a number of causes why we can lose our physical sight. An injury to the eye or both eyes, a disease, an accident, or something like that. With this poor fella, there was something that was congenital. Something went wrong in the process of conception and birth, and he was born without the ability to see. We could give you testimonies tonight of people who were born that were used of God who later became blind, such as the Fanny Crosbys and so forth. But this fella was blind from birth. And that creates a great problem. Science today has done a lot of work and made a lot of advancements in the treatment of blindness. Just from minor things, just the eye tests. They can recognize things that are going on. They can prevent certain diseases. They can correct things like cataracts and various things along those lines and keep vision focused and good. And that's important because if a person can't see, they are limited physically as to what they can do. In fact, we'll see this in just a moment with this poor young boy. He was ultimately reduced to begging for a living. But that's physical blindness. And Jesus passed by and saw this fellow. And verse 2, his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? I would suggest to you that the disciples here had a version of spiritual blindness. Blindness that was caused by superstition. And by superstition, I don't mean if a black cat crosses your path or if you walk under a ladder or break a mirror, not those types of things. But the belief in something that has no biblical validity to it. It was believed in theological circles, based on the premise that because sin came into the world, any consequence such as a physical defect like this was based upon sin. And ultimately, that's true. If Adam and Eve had never sinned, there would never be any sickness, any disease, any physical limitation. But sin is at the root of every problem. But not a particular sin. And what they had done is taken that belief and extended it beyond its limits and said somebody had to sin. Either this fellow in the womb sinned. And actually, the belief was in that time when a baby kicked, it was because sin was taking place. And every mother here tonight is saying, man, did my kid sin. Well, that was a belief. Or the other belief was God was enacting justice upon the parents with the child. Because of some sin in the life of the parents, the son or the child was suffering for that. So this is the question that the disciples are asking. Now, fortunately, they're asking the right person. You and I oftentimes have ideas in our minds that just aren't true. And to come to Jesus with those things is the right things to do, because there you'll get an answer. Verse 3, Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. And when he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground, made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. The disciples, though, had this question. Lord, we don't understand. We think it's this, but you tell us what the case is. And Jesus said, well, you're wrong on both counts. It's neither the parents, neither this man, but this person was put in here for the glory of God. He's here for an appointed time, for an appointed purpose. And that is so that I can display my power to give sight. Oftentimes, we think we have the will of God all figured out, that we can see perfectly what God is doing and why he's doing it, and we reduce it to a formula. I was telling Glenn just yesterday, there's a fellow that Jim and Kathy and I graduated with at ABC. Steve Beverly is his name. I just found out a couple of months ago he is also a student at the same seminary where I'm doing my doctoral studies. And he was doing the doctoral studies there also. When I found that out, I called him up and said, hey, you know, maybe we'll have class together. Well, he said, I'm already done with the classes. The only thing I have to do is my project. And he said, I've been procrastinating on that. I really need to get it done. Then I'll get my degree. And I said, well, that's too bad. I thought maybe that would be a good thing to have class together, but I'm happy for you. Well, it wasn't long after that he came down with COVID. And he really got a very, very bad case of it. He was in the hospital for a long time. And I just found out a couple of weeks ago that the damage to his body from the COVID was so great to his heart and to his lungs that the doctors told him he will not survive. I said to myself, why would God allow this? I think that's kind of the question on the disciples' mind here. Why did God allow this to happen? Was it because of sin? And I don't think it was because of sin in this man's life. He was pastoring a church, not that pastors can't sin. But I said to myself, why would God allow this man to spend all that time and all that effort and all that money pursuing a degree that he's apparently not going to be able to get now for no purpose whatsoever? Well, I guess I got the will of God figured out, don't I? And I said, I know exactly God, and of course I was studying this passage, God is going to do something miraculous in his life. And I am really praying. I appreciate your prayers for this fellow also. That God will do a miracle. That's what it's going to take, apparently, as I understand it. Maybe God won't. And maybe God has some purposes that I just can't see. Sometimes God does that. And maybe it will be if I ask the Lord, Lord, why are you doing that? He'll say, I'll tell you later. But I do know this, that in the end of time, I'll know the answer to the question. Well, that's blindness that's caused by a superstition or a false theology. And Jesus heals this person, displays his glory, because that's what the person was there for, so he could display his glory. Verse 8, we see the second kind of spiritual blindness. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Now that's an interesting question, isn't it? You would think they would say, is not this who was blind? But they didn't ask that. They asked, is this the guy who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, well, he's like him. We can't tell for sure. It's blindness caused by confusion. Well, see, he should be sitting because he doesn't have the ability to see to go around. But this guy's standing up and walking around like he knows where he's going. It looks like him, but it's not how he's acting. I'm confused. Tell me, these are neighbors who have lived next door to this person for a long time, apparently. I would think physical recognition would be immediate, that there should have been no question whatsoever in recognizing this person. But they couldn't. So where are they going to go for an answer? Verse 9. Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed, and I received sight. And they're thinking to themselves, wait a minute. This doesn't make sense. We've never heard anything like this before. Put mud in your eyes, which, by the way, has no therapeutic value whatsoever. If anything, it would make his vision worse. And go to the pool of Siloam and wash it out. Well, why would you put it there in the first place if you want to get rid of it? This is confusing. But he said, I went and did exactly what he told me to do. And guess what? It worked. Then said they unto him, where is he? And he said, I know not. Well, what are we going to do about that? Verse 13, they brought him to the Pharisees, him that was aforetime was blind. Well, the Pharisees know everything. As we have seen the last 2 weeks, they had all the answers. Some of them incorrect, but they had all the answers. Blindness that was caused by confusion. Rather than just take this man's testimony and say, works for me if it worked for you. Now we need some other explanation. We can't accept what's going on here. Well, now they come to the Pharisees. Verse 14. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, he put clay upon my eyes, and I wash, and I do see. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keeps not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. It's spiritual blindness caused by prejudice. Now, understand the difference, first of all, between prejudice and bias. Prejudice, pre, before, justice. It is drawing a conclusion before hearing the facts. My mind is made up. Don't confuse me with the facts. Is prejudice. Bias is I have an inclination towards. If you asked me tonight, who's the best team in football team in Pennsylvania? 99% of you are going to say the Steelers. 1% of you is going to say the Eagles. Why? Bias. I was born in Philadelphia. I grew up being a Philadelphia Eagles fan. You grew up in this area more than likely, and consequently you're Pittsburgh Steelers fans. Bias. But you know what? Bias doesn't answer the question. Neither does prejudice. But prejudice doesn't seek an answer. These Pharisees really couldn't care less about what took place because they already had a prejudice against Jesus. And here they get the testimony, he put clay in my eyes and I wash and I do see, and they say, ah, that's not right. This man cannot be of God, because if he really was of God, he would have kept the Sabbath. He wouldn't have healed you today. He would have either done it yesterday or tomorrow. Prejudice. Well, there's division among them. Verse 17, they say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him? Let's ask your opinion. He hath opened thine eyes, he said. He's a prophet. Well, this poor fellow didn't know which end was up at this point in time theologically. But he did know that Jesus spoke to him. And the words that he spoke came true. So that's prophetic. And he drew a right conclusion. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. No, we're not going to accept that testimony either. That he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son whom you say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Evidence after evidence after evidence. And they kept saying, no, we don't believe that. No, we don't believe that. No, we don't believe that. Because it can't be. Prejudice. Now you have the parents. Spiritual blindness that is caused by fear. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We can attest to that. But by what means he now sees, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him, he shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. Now let's think about the parents here for just a second. They answered correctly, yep, that's our son. Yep, we know that he was born blind. We'll attest to that because there's no consequence to us in giving a truthful answer here. But as to who healed him and how it happened, we don't know if our son is a truth teller or not. Wait a minute. You've lived with him all your life, or actually he's lived with you all your life. You know his character. You know whether he's telling the truth or not. So now they're not answering the question because, well, if we tell him that really he's a truth teller, and that means that his testimony is true and that Jesus is the Christ, they're going to kick us out of the synagogue. That's where all our life is. That's where all our social gatherings are. That's where all our religious foundations are. That's ultimately what our physical prosperity is based on. Because if you get kicked out of there, there's going to be economic repercussions because of that. And we can't let the physical determine what we declare to be truth. Fear. So they say, you go back and ask him. We don't want to answer that one on the grounds that it might incriminate us. Verse 24. Then again called they the man that was blind, said unto him, give God the praise. We know. Check the attitude in this statement. We know that this man is a sinner. Spiritual blindness caused by pride. We know this. Implication, you guys don't know as much as we know. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Okay, you can argue the theology, but I still come back to, here's the proof in the pudding. I was blind, now I see. He's got to be something more than just an ordinary human being. And by the way, you guys couldn't do that, could you? Ouch. Then said they to him again, what did he do to thee? How opened he thine eyes? He answered them, I have told you already. But apparently they were not only spiritually blind, but they were spiritually deaf as well. And you did not hear. Wherefore would you hear it again? Will you also be his disciples? Man, he's putting the knife into them and twisting it about. Then they reviled him and said, thou art his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. Can't get any better than that, can you? We know that God spoke unto Moses. As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is. The man answered and said unto them, why, herein is a marvelous thing. You guys think you're so smart. That you know not whence from whence he is, and yet he's opened my eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he will hear. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. He takes their own theology and shoves it right back at them. He said, let's deal with things that you purport to be true and are. Has anyone else ever done this? He's got to be of God. They answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sin. You see what happens? When you can't win an argument based on the facts, what do? You attack the person. Of course, we don't see that in politics at all today, do we? Let's avoid the issues and win the argument by attacking the person. That was altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us pride? And they cast him out. Back in the 1980s, there was a program on TV, still on and reruns today, Happy Days. Lead character, Arthur Fonzarelli. Hey! Arthur Fonzarelli was the perfect person. Had the answer to everything. Had the ability to accomplish anything. And one episode, I will remember it well, he was wrong. And he had to confess that he was wrong. You saw that one. He could not utter the words wrong. Yep. He stuttered all over the place. Tell me that it's real easy for you to say, I was wrong. Because pride gets in our way and blinds us to the truth, often as well. Well, there's a couple of more blindnesses here. Let's keep moving on. They cast him out. Lost my place. 35. Jesus heard that they cast him out, and when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. This is a partial blindness caused by insufficient knowledge. When Jesus came to him and spoke to him and asked the question, Do you believe on the Son of God? I believe that this man recognized the voice of Jesus, recognized him to be the one who healed him. But he's using the term the Son of God. Now, some manuscripts have the Son of Man, which is a messianic title, but nonetheless, they go together. This man, at this point in time, recognized him as a prophet, a messenger from God. But he didn't understand his deity at this point in time. That's the issue that's here. And he answered and said, Who is he? Who is the Son of God? You're a prophet. You point him out to me, and I will believe on him. And Jesus reveals himself to him. He said, It's me. Thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshipped him. And the blindness, the partial blindness that was caused by the insufficient knowledge is now gone. He sees him in the totality of his being. It was just a matter of growth. And I think back upon my own life and how when I came to Christ, I had just a very little knowledge of Scripture. The very night I got saved, the teacher of the Bible study said, I want you to turn to 1 John chapter 5. I forgot that there were three epistles of John, and I'm in John chapter 5, and everybody else is in 1 John chapter 5. And my Bible wasn't reading the same as everybody else's. And I thought, I got to get a different version. Well, a different version wasn't going to help me on that one. That's how ignorant I was. My spiritual sight was far from 20/20. But that's only a matter of time. Then the last one here that's in the text, spiritual blindness that is caused simply by faithlessness. And Jesus said, For judgment, I am come into this world that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind. In other words, spiritually speaking, if you recognize you're blind and you can't see things, and you come to me, I'll make you sighted, just like this fellow. But if you think you've got everything under control, you're going to remain in your blindness. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, Are we blind also? Mm-hmm. And Jesus said unto them, If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say, We see, therefore your sin remaineth. The question that the Pharisees ask in verse 40 is literally translated this way. We are not blind, are we? It's not as much as a question as it is a statement. We're not blind. Jesus said, Yes, you are. Because you haven't come to faith in me. Now, there's one other blindness. It's not in the text. But it's a blindness that I'll bet you just about everyone here tonight is suffering from. It's a blindness that's caused by distraction. The eye chart's still up there. Do you notice anything about it? Take a good look. I'll give you a hint. Lines 8 and 9. What's not supposed to be? Well, amongst lines 8 and 9, what happened? Those weren't the original letters. While we were speaking, those letters changed. And you never saw it. Do You know why? You were distracted. In a good way, this one. That was a good distraction. I'm glad you were distracted. But sometimes it happens the other way. You saw it? Did you see any of that? You saw a letter change. Every minute, one of those letters was changing. I purposely put this thing down so that you wouldn't see that I was doing something. I set it to be automatically done so that you wouldn't take notice of it. You can come up with whatever description you want of me. But sometimes, when God is doing things in the world, we become so distracted that we never see what He's doing. And when it's all done, we said, what happened? How did we get into this condition? And usually it's always in a bad way. Jim's going to preach on this passage next Sunday morning, so I'm not going to steal any of your thunder. But Hebrews chapter 1, seeing therefore we are compassed about by so great a witness, let us lay aside every sin and the weight that doth easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. And when we get our eyes off of Him and get distracted by the things around us, we get off track. We start to wander. Maybe it's just a step this way, and then another step, and then another step. Before you know it, we're running the wrong way, because we've been distracted by things. And we find out we're not on the course anymore, and we go, what happened? We didn't keep our eyes on Christ. Every one of these spiritual blindnesses is possible to be suffered by any believer. But as long as we keep our eyes on Jesus, it'll never happen. Let's pray. Father, encourage us tonight in your word not to be like the disciples who based their theology on the word of man. Fortunately, they came to you and found the truth. Not to be like the neighbors who were confused. Not to be like the Pharisees who were prejudiced and who were proud. Not to be like the parents who rejected truth out of fear. Not to be like the rest of them and just refusing out of faithfulness to believe. And Lord, help us to be those who keep our eyes focused squarely upon you, that we might run that race with patience and cross the finish line with joy. For your glory, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.